Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We can frequently tell what part of the country someone is from by the way they talk, their accents, the words they choose, their grammar. Can folks from other regions tell where we're from?
It's from 1940.
40.
40.
40.
From 1941, 42.
I used to have an address, was 44, 47.
Well, we've been married 45 years.
The author of a book on the subject thinks that's a pretty good example. Edward Ted McClelland is the author of How to Speak Midwestern. He joins me from Chicago with a couple of St. Louisans who helped McClelland with his research. Jeff and Randy Vines are regional cheerleaders, students of the local vernacular, and co-owners of STL Style on Cherokee Street. Thanks to all of you for being with us. Ted, great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be there.
I'd like to begin with an email, which I think will set this up properly, from Colleen, who says, I have been told when I had traveled to the East Coast and even when living in Kansas City for college that I have a, quote, St. Louis accent. What is a St. Louis accent? I have the general belief my speech is non-distinctive, but apparently not. And Ted, you say Midwesterners don't believe they have accents.
Well, yeah, one of the things I say in the book is that accents are an important part of regional identity. And one important part of Midwestern identity is believing that you don't have an accent. And that kind of goes back to the 1920s. If you had listened recently to recordings of Franklin D. Roosevelt talking about the Pearl Harbor bombing, he would talk about the Empire of Japan making war on the United States. So he spoke in what you call a transatlantic accent, which used to be the classic standard public style of speaking. And in the 1920s, there was a philologist at Hiram College in Ohio named John S. Kenyon, who became the leading pronunciation expert in America. And he promoted pronunciations that he was hearing in northeastern Ohio. So he said, we're not going to say wah, we're going to say war. We're not going to say not, we're going to say not. And these were adopted by NBC's Pronunciation Standards Bureau. And that was how the broadcasters you heard in World War II, like Edward R. Murrow, talked. And this became sort of an American standard out of the Midwest. And so, I mean, everybody has an accent. Some accents, I guess, are more socially acceptable or than others, or less redolent of a particular region. But the Midwestern accent came to be the standard in that way.
Do these accents migrate? In other words, do they evolve as you move from the East Coast to the West Coast?
Well, sure. You know, I talk about three different dialect regions in the book. There's the North Central accent, which is up north, and that's sort of the Fargo accent. And that was established by Germans and Scandinavians. And then there's the Inland North accent, which you hear in the lower Great Lakes, and as we'll talk about, I guess, later, are increasingly hearing in St. Louis. And that was as a result of the migration of Yankees from New England. And then there's the Midland accent, which is goes from sort of Pittsburgh all the way across Missouri, into Missouri and Iowa, which is a result of Scots-Irish migration. So, you know, these accents have deep roots in American history, but they are always evolving. I mean, every generation has its own sound. My stepmother is 72 years old. She's from Granite City, Illinois, and she says Worsh, which is sort of a signature sound of the Midland dialect region. But as the Vines brothers told me when I was in St. Louis, this is a feature that is less common among younger St. Louisans and younger Midwesterners.
Well, let's bring the Vines boys into the conversation. Randy and Jeff, how did you get into this whole thing?
Well, you know,
This is Randy.
Yeah, this is Randy. Yeah, it really started kind of just by accident. I remember our grandmother, who we love dearly, always used to tell us that we were Barnett Barnes. So, like, we were like 13 years old before we made the distinction that we thought that's where all the babies were born, you know, and we're like, what is this? And so we started, like, hearing it, like, well, the different cousins and people just we encountered, we'd hear them say, it's extraordinary, or it's let's organize it. And we're like, this is a weird accent in St. Louis. So I actually, in college, I I did some research and wrote a term paper all about the St. Louis accent, and was really surprised to see how well documented it was. There are research papers from very, you know, highly esteemed linguists from all over the country who have studied the St. Louis dialect and determined that it is indeed an urban speech island. There's only a few in the interior Midwest that exist. Cincinnati's one, Pittsburgh's another, and St. Louis is a very notable one. So there are dialect patterns and features in St. Louis speak that are distinctive and very unique to this city and decidedly urban in character.
Jeff, any most extreme examples you can think of the things that are said around here?
Well, another example with our grandma. So our dad's side of the family, they're all from St. Louis, and half of them, they need subtitles because they speak very St. Louis. My mom's side of the family is from Chicago, and I remember one time our grandmother, our mom's mom, was in town. We were eating dinner, and our St. Louis grandma was telling a story about how her husband sent her an orchid when he was away at war. And she said, our other grandma from Chicago said, "An orchid? What's an orchid?" And our St. Louis grandma said, "What do you mean, what's an orchid? It's an orchid." And there really is, it's hard to understand sometimes if you didn't grow up around here that St. Louis definitely has a distinct yet overlooked accent. So we're just trying to appreciate that more.
Ted, are we more extreme than any place else? I mean, obviously there are many places.
You're not as extreme as Pittsburgh.
That's
right,
true.
That's definitely
or Baltimore,
true.
I would say, too.
Yeah. I mean, in the Midwest, I think Pittsburgh is the most distinct island. I was listening to a recording of Myron Cope, who is the former Steelers broadcaster, and he's a stereotypical what you call Yinzer. And in Pittsburgh, for you guys, they'll say Yin. And so a Yinzer is somebody who speaks in a strong Pittsburgh accent, who roots for the Steelers, drinks Orange City beer, and, you know, changes his tars with tar iron. And he was talking about how he invented the terrible towel. Now, that, and you need subtitles for that. He's talking about the terrible towel, you know, that the Steelers fans wave above their heads. So, yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh and St. Louis are both cities about the same age. And so I would think that they have these deep histories and they've had a long time for distinctive accents to develop there.
What makes an island, though? I mean, we all know what an island is, but how far beyond St. Louis, for instance, does the St. Louis dialect continue?
Well, you know, the dialect has centered and really developed in the central core of the city. And urban dialects develop due to all kinds of factors, including age of the city, density, immigration patterns, industry, and all kinds of other factors. But the St. Louis speech island is really centered in the central city of St. Louis and mostly the inner ring suburbs. Although, you know, as population dispersed out west and to the farther suburbs, it is spreading and also assimilating a little bit more and sounding a little bit more like a northern cities dialect, general northern American cities dialect.
You mean northern?
Northern, right. But but definitely the people who work in like the trades in the city, and we're talking about like cops and firefighters and kind of, you know, industrial workers who really don't leave the city much and kind of grew up or stay in neighborhoods where they grew up. They have it so thick, and you can definitely tell. You should pay attention next time you go to just your common interactions with regular city folks.
Jeff, I hear it a lot in South St. Louis. I mean, South St. Louis stands out.
A lot of people think the St. Louis accent is really unique to South St. Louis only, but no, our dad's family is from North St. Louis, and they definitely speak heavily with that St. Louis flair. It really is citywide, and there are nuances among different ethnic groups. I mean, there are slight differences between an Italian-American St. Louis accent, Jewish, Irish, and so on. So very, very nuanced, and you have to be attuned to it. But Randy and I have really always been fascinated with urban dialects. So, and we like to pick out where people are from when they come in our store. And it's just an interest we've always had.
Ted, this has become a very transient society. People are moving all the time to various parts of the country. How is that impacting this, or is it?
Well, I think it is, and as Jeff and Randy were pointing out, you hear it mostly in people who are native to the area, have deep roots in the area, don't leave the area much. I mean, one of the conclusions that I made in the book was that education and social mobility are the greatest accent levelers, more so than television. I mean, nobody watched more television than the baby boomers, but they have stronger regional accents than millennials. And an example I gave from Chicago, talking about, you know, the classic Chicago accent, which you'll probably recognize from that Saturday Night Live superfan skit about the Bears.
The Bears.
You know, in the 60s, you when you graduated from high school, you didn't have to leave your neighborhood to get a job. You could just walk across the street and get a job in a steel mill. You didn't have to talk to anybody outside your shop or your parish. And actually having that regional accent was sort of a sign of masculinity that was going to help you on the work site. But as those jobs disappeared, you know, young people had to go to school. They had to start dealing with people from outside of the area, and they learned to modulate their accents. I have a friend who grew up in the southwest side of Chicago, and he said that the teachers told him, you know, cut it out with that these, them, and those stuff. People are going to think you're ignorant. These, them, and those, that's a feature that's certainly declining strongly in Chicago among the younger generation.
Well, these, dems, and does is something I equate with the East Coast, New York, or the New York area in particular. But you bring a point that I wanted to raise, and that is, I hate to say this because people will think I'm being critical. I'm not. It's that a lot of people equate a strong Southern accent with not being real smart.
Mm-hmm.
What about that, Ted?
Well, you know, somebody sent me some interesting, because I did a show in Kansas City the other day, and we were talking about Missouri versus Missouri, and people were saying that, well, you hear Missouri down in the Ozarks, and this guy, he's a professor at Northwestern Missouri, and he said that originally Missouri was the Northern Missouri pronunciation, and Missouri was the Southern Missouri pronunciation, but Missouri became more prestigious, and so people started associating it with the urban educated parts of the state, and assuming Missouri was the southern rural parts of the state. So, you know, as I say, everybody has an accent, but some accents are, there's always a social component to what people hear when they hear your accent. And I think it's unfortunate that very strong regional accents have come to be considered less sophisticated than speaking in sort of a more neutral American accent.
I want to pick up on that point, but I have to take a break. We'll do that now. The Vines boys were shaking their heads when you were saying, talking about Missouri and Missouri. We'll get their take on that in a moment.
Okay.
Our guest, Ted McClelland, he prefers Ted over Edward, but the name on the book is Edward McClelland, and the book is How to Speak Midwestern. Also with us in studio is Jeff and Randy Vines, a couple of local entrepreneurs who have made a study of the vernacular, if you will. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Ted McClelland, author of How to Speak Midwestern, and Jeff and Randy Vines from St. Louis. Want to pick up on the Missouri thing. Randy, you were shaking your head with what Ted was saying.
Well, you know, not in disagreement necessarily. It's just that I have never really heard the perspective that said Missouri actually used to be a northern pronunciation. I wouldn't think that, you know, intuitively. But
I'll send you that email. He mentions an article in a Speech Journal.
Interesting. And I guess now it makes sense, because I do know some people who are from St. Louis who, when they're in the flow of speech, they do let it, you know, it comes out as Missouri every so often. But definitely in the St. Louis area and, you know, the metropolitan areas, Missouri is overwhelmingly favored over Missouri. And what you were saying about like the southern dialect, a southern dialect being associated with like uneducated, you know, lower class. The same is true for a very strong like Brooklyn accent too.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people have tried to train themselves or you know to lose the dialect because it just shows that you're not really exposed to a whole lot, I guess.
Yeah.
If you retain a strong dialect, but it is interesting. Getting back to really quick the point about St. Louis being a speech island, we mentioned Kansas City and even the Kansas City dialect. Even though Kansas City is a major city in the same state, their dialect is completely different, and St. Louis is more distinct from any other part of Missouri, and Kansas City's dialect is much more reflective of the rest of the state, the region around it. Whereas St. Louis stands in stark contrast to its hinterlands anywhere else in the region.
I've always equated Missouri and Missouri with rural versus urban. Mm-hmm. Just as simple as that. If you want to have fun sometime, go with a politician who's making a cross-state tour
right.
And watch how often that that pronunciation changes depending on where he or she is.
Supposedly Senator McCaskill cut two separate radio spots, one with Missouri and one with Missouri.
That doesn't surprise me, but they all make the change as they reach a certain part of the state. Let's take a couple of phone calls. We have one here that raises an issue I wanted to get to, so let's have Bianca do it. She's calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Bianca. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd be really interested to learn whether this Midwest accent we're talking about, or even the St. Louis accent in particular, is applicable to African Americans in St. Louis. It hasn't been clear in the conversation thus far.
Okay. Who would like to
let Ted? Ted has quite a perspective.
Go ahead, Ted.
I'll start, and then I'll defer to them for the specifics of St. Louis. But one thing I certainly learned in my research was that the Midwest has the highest level of accent variation between whites and African Americans than any other part of the country. Because when African Americans moved up to the Midwest to work in industries, and they were residentially segregated into ghettos. So they were isolated from whites professionally and socially. And in general, they retained their southern speech characteristics. If you go to New York, African-American New Yorkers sound more like white New Yorkers than, say, African-American Chicagoans sound like white Chicagoans. There are local variations of African-American speech, and the Vines Brothers can talk about the ones that are specific to St. Louis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who'd like to?
Sure. Yeah. And I it's also, you know, noteworthy that when you're talking about urban dialects, that they really are distinct. The African-American dialect is totally different pattern than the kind of white ethnic European dialect. Mm-hmm. The St. Louis African-American dialect has been popularized probably thanks to Nelly back in the early 2000s. The her, their, that slur. It's become kind of like known pop culture of St. Louis that's kind of the St. Louis speak for the African-American dialect. But I think a lot of that has been, while I do think it exists, I think it's been, you know, magnified just because it's sexy to have some kind of like hook to popularize the faddish whatever trend of the day is.
Jeff, did you want to add to that?
In all cities across America, there is a distinct difference between African American speech and the local dialects, and it's just as pronounced in Chicago and Detroit and Cleveland as it is here in St. Louis, and I feel so white trying to talk about it. I wish we had a guest who could speak more to that.
You know, Ted, we have a strong French background in this part of the country, and a number of our streets and buildings and what have you are named for French people, French areas and what have you. But they're mangled. I mean, the people here don't even come close to trying to pronounce them as the French would.
Well, that's something I put in my book as a tip for how to speak Midwestern is to mispronounce foreign names. And I know you have Gravois Street and Laclede. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the city itself should be Saint-Louis. Detroit should be Detroit. And then you go over to Indiana, they have Versailles. which you would certainly not hear at the Palace of Versailles in France. And then there's the city at the southern tip of Illinois is Cairo, and there's a San Jose, Illinois. So St. Louis is certainly not alone in mangling the French legacy of the Midwest.
Des Plaines, the suburb of Chicago. That's a pretty bad
one. Des Plaines. Yeah. There's a street in Detroit spelled G-R-A-T-I-O-T, and they call it Gratiot.
Well, I wonder why that is. I mean, why have people taken it upon themselves to mispronounce the French, for instance?
Well, I would assume that because back then people just read these things. They didn't have recordings where they could hear how they were pronounced. So you read about the Mexican War. You read about the Sandoval, Mexico. Well, it looks like Sandoval. So that's how they pronounce it in Illinois. There's an El Dorado, Illinois. So I assumed it was just sort of a pre-broadcast factor.
And we've got a Nevada, Missouri, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's
a lot. Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. We have a number of calls. I'll get as many in as we can. Let's pick up Grant calling from Burns Mill. Grant, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Don. Thanks very much. I really appreciate your program.
Great.
I've heard that broadcasters sometimes go to school to kind of neuter their dialect or their accent. I wonder if that was your experience. So I'll take the answer off the air.
No, it was not. It was not in my case. Although I grew up in New Jersey, I am not a "how you doing" kind of guy. Didn't grow up in that kind of an area. But let me turn to Ted
from the East Coast.
East Coast, yeah, definitely. Let's go back to Ted though, because he has an example in his book of Bob Schieffer, whom most of us would know from his days at CBS. Tell that story quickly, if you would, Ted.
Well, he was originally from Texas, and he went to Washington, D.C., and wanted to get a network job, and told them about his experience I say Dallas. They don't understand it when I say it down there. And they said, well, we wouldn't be interested in hiring someone with a strong regional accent. And I just talked to a woman from Iowa who said she goes to New York and all the local actors want to hear her talk because they can get that neutral Midwestern accent from her.
Yeah. As far as broadcasting schools are concerned, I don't know of any, but they probably do exist if they want to lose some of those accents. Let's take another call. Karen from Belnora. Go ahead, Karen.
You had an announcer on KWMU probably 15 to 20 years ago, Mark someone, who was doing a story about the open streams, and he kept talking about how formers were against it. And I couldn't figure out what he was talking about. Former what? I want to know how it is that people in St. Louis reverse OR and AR.
Well, let's find out. Who knows?
Well, that's kind of one of the demarcations of the St. Louis dialect. That is kind of the hallmark. And it's definitely much more prevalent amongst older speakers in St. Louis. Not so much anymore, but people who were born and raised in the city of St. Louis tend to merge that OR with like an AR sound, and hence like extraordinary and organized. And it's really just one of those colloquial features of the St. Louis dialect that really evolved over time due to immigration and settlement patterns and things like that.
I haven't heard too much about the reverse of that, though, where farmer is former,
right?
That the caller was talking about.
Yeah, but that's interesting.
I have to listen for that.
What we're talking about here, Ted, really is a question of pronunciation rather than choice of words or grammar.
Sure.
I guess that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Sure. I mean, all three are part of dialect, but your pronunciation is definitely probably the one that's going to mark you most as a local. And one thing we haven't even talked about is how St. Louis's accent is changing and how it's becoming more allied with the North. And that, as I've read, is as a result of the influence of Route 66. And then later I-55, St. Louis became connected to Chicago, and St. Louis is adopting more of what you'd call an inland north accent. I was always a little confused at why John Goodman had such a strong Midwestern accent being from St. Louis until I had read about this. I mean, he was on Roseanne, and he sounded just like a guy from northeastern Illinois. So that's another example of how St. Louis is a linguistic island. It's in the Midland region, but it's starting to take on northern speech characteristics. I listened to Francis Slay, and he was raising his A's just like a northerner.
You know, it's interesting. I have a note here suggesting that foreign actors, when they come to this country, they don't have to come here, but when they are right. studying it for an American accent, they turn to the Midwest to develop mm-hmm. that. Does that sound right to you?
It does sound right to me. I mean, I think about who's the guy in House?
Hugh Laurie. Hugh Laurie, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, you could say he had an American accent, but it didn't really sound like any particular kind of American accent. I mean, there's not one American accent, but I suppose that the Midwestern accent is the one that's most associated with being a neutral American accent.
Vines, boys, does that make you feel good?
Oh, it makes it. Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense because, you know, Midwesterners tend to enunciate their vowels and their R's and
yeah.
much more clearly than some on the East Coast. One other very, very important characteristic of any urban dialect or dialect is colloquial terms, such as the St. Louis use of the word Hoosier.
I was just going to bring that up.
You know, that's like and that's still the preferred a derogatory word in St. Louis for certain types of people. And it's only in St. Louis. That's just a very unique, that usage in St. Louis. And I guess, I don't know how offensive this might be, but it's always associated with urban white trash, urban or suburban white trash.
It's pretty serious. If you call somebody a Hoosier, that's a pretty serious criticism.
Or, you know, and but it could be comically too, like, oh, did you see those drapes that they put up? How Hoosier, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's and people from outside of St. Louis are always asked, why are you talking about, what does that have to do with Indiana? And mm-hmm. they're just lost completely.
Ted, do you have any idea where that came from?
Well, I was told that it came from people from Indiana who came to work in auto plants in Missouri in the 60s, and they were sort of stigmatized for their country ways coming from Indiana. That's the theory I've heard. I mean, Hoosier is such a distinctive term to Indiana. I would assume it has to have some roots associated with that state.
I've actually heard, I've heard that theory, and also one that some troops from Indiana were stationed in St. Louis in the St. Louis Arsenal during the Civil War, and they were kind of backwoodsy, and so the mm-hmm. St. Louis locals kind of termed them Hoosiers. They refer to them, you know, kind of as a derisive term.
We're going to have to end this, but I very quickly want to play something that you guys gathered for, some relatives of yours apparently,
yes.
A married couple. Let's very quickly play that, and we can talk about it for a few seconds afterwards.
I'm right here, right in the heart of St. Louis.
I just heard your accent. I really never paid attention to it before, but Jeffrey and Randy are always talking about the way we say farty or fork. But the only thing I can remember that I really have an accent, I used to have an address, was 4447. And it just never sounded right to me, 4447.
Well, we've been married 45 years. And so for 45 years, you've never noticed I had an accent?
No, because I had the same accent, so it seems natural.
Right. We can't hear each other.
But when I'm listening to you, I can pick up on the F-A in the, or 40 instead of 4. I can't even say 40.
Yeah. We're back to square one on that. We've only got a few seconds left. Classic. Very quickly,
these right. Those are our cousins, our dad's first cousins, Roger and Marsha Brockman.
I think it speaks for itself.
Yeah.
It really does. Well, this has been a terrific conversation. I wish we had more time. Ted, in a second or two, do you have a final word you'd like to give us?
I need to find a specific Missouri word here.
Okay, I'll give you one there. I have to say goodbye. That's catty okay. corner as opposed to kitty corner.
Yes, catty corner. Or how about the stroll? That's another good one.
Oh, that's great. The book is How to Speak Midwestern by Edward Ted McClelland. It is available and it's a fun read. Thank you, Ted McClelland. And Jeff and Randy Vines, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.